Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday night. Friday, December the 15th, 2023. 14 and a half minutes past the hour. 10 days until Christmas. And if you were only... Let me tell you what's going on in the studio because we don't have a camera in here. We really should. Carrington, would you like to tell the audience before I do what you were doing? Because you thought I was not looking at you, but I caught you because I've got the teacher eye. And I, out of the corner of my eye, I saw what you were doing while I was doing the intro there. What were you doing?
One may think mocking. That's what you would probably use. But
mocking.
I was reciting what you're going to say on a getaway Friday night, 2023.
Ooh, ouch.
I was like, yay, here it is. And then I just did it a little, and I made the 2023.
So now, what do you think I... Okay, so the introduction finishes, and what do I do?
I
come in and say what? See, now the pressure's on.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. This is Scott Spears coming at you on a getaway Friday night. It's December 15th, 2023. Hey, that wasn't perfect, but it's getting better. I'm going to keep practicing.
Maybe you should let her do it.
Yeah, maybe you can have it.
I'm just going to practice each week.
You know, Christmas is next week. Maybe you can do the intro.
Well, maybe I can.
Well, jeez, Louise.
I'll say thank you, man of the golden voice, Ted Williams. This is Carrington Nelson coming at you on a getaway Friday night.
But see, he's saying Scott Spears, so you got to say sitting in for Scott Spears, Carrington Nelson.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Got it.
That's showbiz. You know, but you did lie to... I just want to... Before we move on past the fruitcake, cause you lied.
Oh.
Yeah. You lied to us because for weeks and weeks and weeks, we said you were underselling yourself, and you walked in and you beat all the guys last night in the WGH category. So you got the muscles. You were lying about it all the... Oh, I'm just da-da-da. You... See?
I don't... No, I'm not going to own up to lying about it. Did an possibly illegal throw, like...
Oh, no, it's probably illegal, but we're just not going to... Because it's the holidays, we don't want to get any controversy.
I'm just saying, I mean, that probably played to my advantage. Matt said he messed up. You know, I think it's really partially a game of chance, and we'll see what happens next year.
It's like roulette.
Yeah.
We're doing roulette out there.
A little bit.
By the way, we all took a trip last week to Cleveland.
Oh, my gosh, we did.
All four of us hopped in a car on a Sunday afternoon and went up to Cleveland.
And we had a great time.
Well, some of us did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I did.
Well, okay. Tell us about the trip. I don't think I've talked a whole lot about it on the air.
Yeah. So, obviously, the main goal of the trip was initially to see the Christmas Story house that is in Cleveland.
Yes, from the movie, 40-year anniversary.
Yes. So, we obviously had to go see the house, and it was honestly... It was kind of strange because it was in a neighborhood, which, I mean, we had talked about beforehand, but, I mean, there's not a lot of parking. You're, you know, down the street, and there's, like, families walking, and they're just, like, we're in a neighborhood. So that was interesting. There were at least four different houses, I think, dedicated toward this film. There was the gift shop house, and then there was, you know, the Christmas Story house, and then there was their neighbor's house, and then there was a museum, I think, across the street as well.
They had
a lot of stuff up there, actually. The gift shop was huge. We probably spent the majority of our time
huge?
There. Huge.
Okay. Thank you.
Ginormous. Huge. Yeah, and then we just did a little broadcast from out front of it and got to look at it. Nobody was really interested in going in the house, which, to be fair, since no one here has seen the film but me, I'm not that surprised, but I think
Sean had seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Oh, okay. See, they were like, yeah, no, nobody's seen it. You need to talk a bunch.
I still haven't
seen it. Yeah, we need to change that. Should we get together and watch this film?
Oh, I'm busy.
Oh, every day between now and Christmas?
Oh, it's...
Busy guy.
Yeah, I got stuff going on.
I think that we should. What are you guys doing Christmas Eve morning?
What are we going to do? Get together here in the studio?
Well, we can get together somewhere. You can come to my house. We're friends. We're hanging out.
Oh, Matt, are you excited? Christmas Eve morning, Sean, we're all going to go over to Carrington's house. And don't your parents have to okay this?
Well, yeah, Mom and Dad, call in. Let me know if it's okay.
We're all going to come over Christmas Eve morning.
We're all coming over. Hang out.
And we're going to watch the Christmas
story. We're going to watch the Christmas story together.
Are we going to wear like our feety pajamas and all these sort of things?
Yes, and we can drink hot chocolate, and my mom will make cookies for us.
Lamp cookies.
Yes, lamp cookies.
All right, well, you get that together. We'll work on that.
Yeah, I'll orchestrate that. But, yeah, you guys need to see it. It was a really cool... event, I think. And if you have not been up there, I would. Someone else should share the next part of our adventure because...
WEWS?
Yes.
Matt, tell us about the
WEWS.
It's not any of those things.
It's
the first television station in the history of Ohio. December 17th, 19... Are you celebrating on Sunday? December 17th, 1947.
Oh, my dad just texted me. He said, sounds good. So you guys are all invited Christmas Eve morning.
All right. Well, I'm ramping up. That's, boy.
All right. Perfect.
Right. I'll be there.
Great.
Well,
Dad.
I guess we'll see depending on how the schedule looks.
Yeah. It's a hefty schedule, but we'll try to make that all happen.
Let me know. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah.
We could broadcast from my living room.
Oh,
my mom would love that, I bet.
Well, we'll look into it.
Okay, perfect.
We'll see what we can arrange.
Okay, great.
We like to make Christmas miracles happen.
Sorry. Anyway. Yeah,
especially on Christmas Eve. WEWS television.
I think you mean WEWS.
WEWS.
Oh, I don't mean WEWS. Tell the story. We got stuff to do here.
All right. So we went to as Scott likes to phrase it, WEWS. And
that's the station. It's the call letters.
Even the people at the station called it WEWS.
They don't know where they are. Those people never been in the lobby.
That's for sure.
Yeah, that is fair.
And I brought the two kids into the WEWS break room, and
we
I don't even know if I...
At least 30 minutes.
We were going to go take a picture with Dorothy Fulltime's picture, and that's in the lobby. But
tell people who Dorothy Fulltime is.
Dorothy Fulltime is the first female news anchor.
Ever.
Ever.
In history. 1947.
And then she was in Ohio. That's so cool.
Cleveland, Ohio. Yes, that and I told Matt that's when I retire from radio, which is going to be probably before Christmas Eve, I'm going to do the Dorothy Fulltime documentary. That's going to be how I'm going to spend my time.
Okay, I like it.
Because I've compiled a lot of stuff on this woman over the last 20 years, and nobody's ever done the documentary, and I feel I should be the one.
Well, yeah, I mean, WEWS is not doing anything for her.
There is no WEWS. This is the WEWS News here in Cleveland, first station ever.
WEWS News, and they did not honor Dorothy how we would have wanted them to.
There's a darn plaque out front that's an 18-foot big, heavy thing.
Yeah, that was it. We wanted to go inside.
I want one of those right in the city of Marion. That's what I want. I want a big Scott Spears plaque right out in front of this place.
They didn't even know that there was a Dorothy Fulltime picture in the
lobby. They've never been to the lobby. Let's be fair. The people there have never been to the lobby. But I took you guys to the break room.
It was nice.
Have you gotten that far before?
I gotta watch football from the break room.
A whole episode happened there we're not even going to get into. But we were in the break room, and that was just an interesting little affair. Oh, that's all I'm going
to
say about
it. Yeah, so first off, we have to go into this building through a gate. We've got to buzz in, and we're like...
It's the first television station in the state of Ohio.
Yes.
People are banging to get in that door.
Right. So high security place, and we're sitting out there. We're trying to buzz in and everything. Nobody's really answering, and eventually this guy comes and walks out, and he's like, hey, what's up, you guys? And... Scott's like, it's Scott Spears here. I'm on the list. It's Scott Spears. He's like, okay, well, yeah, I'll open it up. Come on in.
Well, he heard the name.
Yeah, he was like, Scott Spears, whatever.
He opened the gate.
He opened the gate. We get in the gate, park the car, walk into...
Get in the security door.
The security door, yes,
okay,
whatever.
Well, your and name wouldn't
go,
get that far. That's all
we
I'm
go
saying.
Down to the break room. That's the first room that we enter. And he's like, what are you guys... Who are you guys here to see? What's going on? And we're like... he's like, Scott Spears. It's me. I'm Scott Spears.
No, I don't think that happened. I don't think that happened at all.
He was name-dropping himself
I do believe what
several times.
That's such a lie. That's a darn lie.
Listen,
may it please the court, that's a lie.
It was more so the fact that he had called in advance.
Yeah, put the whole story in context.
So it was more so that he had called in advance, and the person he had talked to said that he would put him on the security list. So when we got there, he had said, I'm Scott Spears. I was told I'd be on the security list.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, my way was just funnier.
Rude. And then he took me into the bowels of the building.
How'd that go, by the way?
I was in the bowels of the WEWS.
The bowels of WEWS.
I was in the WEWS News bowels.
You just tuned in. News WEWS bowels.
Yeah, I was down there, and I said, is this where Dorothy used to work? And he said, well, I just got here. And I said, well, do you know who Dorothy is? He said, well, yes. And he wasn't very talkative.
No.
The man was not a conversationalist.
I was probably sketched out by us. We're not on the list. We've come in there.
Yeah, we look like a real thuggish group. We're here to see the Dorothy full-time picture.
Sean's
take
carrying,
us through or we're going to beat the...
Sean's carrying around his camera.
we're going to beat the besiegers out of you if you don't take us to that Dorothy full-time picture.
Matt had his hood up the whole time. He was like thug all the way in there.
No.
We were a thug-looking group?
We were a thug-looking group.
If I had my hood up the whole time, it's because it was cold.
I'm just saying.
Take us to the Dorothy picture or else.
Yeah.
There's going to be trouble.
So we just hang out. We sit in their lobby for a long time. Not the lobby. They've never been to the lobby. Sorry. Their break room.
Break room.
Sorry. Yes. We were in the break room.
This is Scott Spears and this is my posse.
We never made it past
our
there.
This is our role with this group.
Scott made some calls. He tried to talk to the people, but their news was on until 6:30, so...
We watched the news.
We did watch the news that was being aired in the building, and we watched the Chiefs versus Bills game, and we saw Taylor Swift.
And then we saw the Dorothy statue.
And we saw Taylor hug somebody else.
Oh, yes. Woo!
Woo!
Oh, I'm telling you right there. So then, from WEWS, we drove downtown to Cleveland to the Theater District.
We went to Allen Theater.
Thank you.
For the Festival of Trees.
Festival of Trees in the Allen Theater.
We really skipped over the getting there, because we drove for at least 30 minutes, I think.
No, not 30.
There was a lot of confusion about where to park, which, in a city, it's confusing. We drove around the block for a little bit.
Just because you were hungry.
I think that's what it was.
And complaining the whole time.
I was really
hungry.
I
thought we were going to eat.
I was like, when are we getting food? I was.
Is that a food place over there? I thought we were going to eat.
And Scott was like, I don't know if any of the places around this downtown area are good enough. And I was like, we passed the Alpine one for
us. I did not bark at you like that. I didn't bark. I'm a nice human being.
No, you're nice. You just said, something about that the places around, the you needed to open a good place down here because there weren't any around. And I was like,
what are you talking about? It's a theater district. There were like four theaters and no food places near them.
There were several places. We did not walk that far.
Anyways, after that, we ended up at, the Festival of Trees was beautiful.
Yes.
And there was an echo in the center of the rotunda.
Yes.
Yes.
We played around with that.
Then we finally had to get you some food because apparently you had a tapeworm or something. So then we went over to, walked in the cold and the sleet and the rain. We went over before they shut the city of Cleveland down. Here's a fun fact. They shut the city of Cleveland down at 9 p.m.
Oh, yes. Everything's
dead. You have to be off the streets. They roll in the sidewalks and it's over.
Yeah. The whole town's dead.
So we went down to Tequila 1942 Tacos and Tequila.
Yes.
And we had a nice little dinner together.
We did. We hung out.
You know what I remember most about that dinner? Here's what happened. I was talking about formal events that I get invited to. And I said, I don't really enjoy the formal events because they usually give you two tickets and you have to, you know, find somebody to go with and then you got to get all dressed up and you said, oh, I'd like to go to one of these formal events.
Yeah.
And I said, I've never seen you in anything formal. I don't think you passed the dress code. And you remember this?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
And you said, oh, I've got dresses. And I said, I don't believe you. And I said, if we were going to a formal event together, if I said, okay, let's go to the Candy Cane Ball, which is one of the things I got invited to, which is a formal event, you said I would wear my...
It was my senior year prom dress.
Okay. So you pulled out a picture.
Yes.
Which was like 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't even look like you.
That's so mean. It looks
like me. No, that's not mean. Is that mean?
It looks like me with makeup on and my hair done up and in a fancy dress.
Yeah, it looks like you did something to yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just looks different.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not wearing a formal gown to the radio station.
Christmas party. Tuesday. Formal.
What? I thought we were doing that Friday.
Oh, yeah, Friday. Don't forget that.
No. Christmas party Tuesday.
That's formal gear.
Friday is gift exchange.
Gift exchange.
Yeah,
Friday.
But I thought Friday was the formal.
Friday is the formal. Oh, why is that a mean? Is that a mean thing to say?
That it doesn't look like me.
That you look completely different in formal attire. I don't think that's mean.
Did I look better?
And see, you—that's like, do you still beat your wife? I'm not getting out of that question alive. Because if I say no, it's well, I look terrible now. I look terrible then, and if I say yes, then it's I look terrible now.
Mm-hmm.
So no. I'm not answering that question.
Okay, that's good. That was a good answer.
See, I know how to do it. But no, you just looked. I was shocked because I've never seen you with makeup on, and I've never seen you in a formal dress, and you look, you know, like somebody would look in a formal dress.
Yeah, absolutely I do. I can pull it off. I show up and I play the part.
Yeah.
I'm good at it.
Oh, it's a part.
No, I mean,
it's all phony baloney?
Play the part of fancy girl for the evening.
No, I guess the point I'm getting into is, are you more Tom girl or that type of girl? Because we really can't answer that question because we're not women.
No, I like dressing up. I typically do. I mean, I haven't here, obviously, but for one, it's winter. I struggle to dress super cute in winter because I'm like, I need practical. Like, I'm cold. I'm cold out there. I'm not walking anywhere with, you know, my legs out because it's cold. Like, people do that. They'll wear skirts and stuff. It's hard, you know? Just stop that, Scott. He's making faces at me over there, making fun of what I'm saying.
I don't know that you can, you know.
Just let it pass. Let it pass. Let it pass.
That's just how I feel. So, and then in the summer, you know, you're hot. And it's like, well, now I just want to put on like a tank top because I'm going to be sweating. So it's like.
Do you sweat a lot? Because you always say how hot you are.
Yeah, I do kind of sweat a lot.
Do you think you have an overactive glandular disease?
I haven't looked into it. So
I think you might want to see a doctor.
Maybe I should.
Because you really, come to think of it, in the dead of winter, you always say, I'm so hot. Like now you got your sleeves rolled up.
Yeah, well, you just get me going, and, you know, I'm sweating in here because I've got to defend myself. I have to defend women. There's a lot going on for me here.
In Carrington's defense, it is almost 80 degrees in here.
Yeah, buddy, Sean's in a sweater all wrapped up. You're in a hoodie. I've got a scarf on, for God's sake. And we're not hot, but she's always, like, wringing wet. She's got her arms rolled up, sleeves rolled up.
Okay.
Red face, flushed.
It's 80 degrees in here.
All of us are all okay. You don't see any sweat on our brow.
I don't know what's up with you guys. Maybe you're just not sweaty folk. I'm sweaty.
I think you might.
Maybe you guys just aren't sweaty folk.
Well, that's right. That's what they say about my family. We're not sweaty folk.
That's fine. I'm a sweaty gal, so.
That's just what people want to hear. I'm a sweaty gal.
I sweat.
Put that on your Tinder account. I'm a sweaty gal. Sweaty gal. No, I think you might have a glandular disorder. You might want to check in.
I think it's 80 degrees in this room. And
I'm just saying, you're always hot, though. You're like in the middle of downtown Cleveland when they rolled in. I'm burning up down here tonight.
I was not hot. It was freezing cold in Cleveland.
That's all I'm saying. You might want to look into it.
No, I think I'm
just
fine.
A little tip. Let's do the top 10 list. We got 30. God, why are you always fighting with me? What is that all about?
You just bring it out of me.
I bring out the anger?
Apparently.
Ay, ay, ay. I bring out the anger. Okay, are you ready for the top 10 list from the Home Office? And this is a good one tonight. I haven't read it, but I know it's a good category. From the Home Office in Columbus, Ohio. Maybe if we get it started here. Ah, there's the drum roll. Don't look over my shoulder.
I'm not.
I know how you like to do. All right, tonight's category is Top 10 Activities at the WGH Year End Party. Okay, do you understand the category?
Yes.
Top 10 activities at the WGH year-end party, which is coming up on Tuesday night, 7 p.m., but will be broadcast on this station. Top 10 activities. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Number 10, Matt arrives late. No doubt about it. Put $100 on that. Number 9, Abby delivers the gift she promised Scott last year. Always a day late and a dollar short with Abby. Absolutely. Number 8. Sean brings the fruit quake punch and McDonald's meal. That could happen at the Christmas party on Tuesday. Number 7. Stop looking. Number 7. Pastor Craig and Pastor Whitaker have an arm wrestle to settle a dispute over the meaning of wassailing.
Earlier when Abby was here, we should have had the arm wrestling.
Oh, that's right. You and Abby have an arm wrestle to see who's the... Because she thinks she's bad, you know, rear end. All right. Number 6. Glenn Coble is hired as the new WGH chopper pilot. Yes, we are going to have him. You know, he didn't win the mayor job, so we got to give him something to do. He's going to fly around with the chopper, WGH chopper, Glenn Coble.
That's what's up.
Number 5, Carrington sings the Taylor Swift catalog. You going to do that Tuesday night?
If you guys allow it, I guess I can teach you some Taylor Swift songs where we can sing in unison.
Now remember, the category is Top 10 Activities at the WGH Year-End Party. Number 4, Linda discovers Lottie Boy's collar has been in a stack of unopened mail. That's where it's been all this time. Linda's going to collect $5,000 on Tuesday night. Number 3, Scott has everyone reenact the Ed Asner Christmas sketch. Oh, I haven't played the Ed Asner Christmas sketch this year yet. We got to play it before the year's up.
Can we play it right after this? I need to see it. I'm excited.
It would take too long on this show, but I'll send you a copy.
Okay, thanks.
Yes. Number 2. Adam reads a selection of the best obituaries of 2023. that's the biggest obituaries of 2023.
In the spirit of Christmas.
Yeah. All right. And the number 1 activity at the WGH year-end party, take down the Christmas tree. That's how it all goes. I like that list.
I think that's a great list.
That was a great,
fantastic.
Plays out like that. It's going to be a successful night, I think.
We might save and frame that list. Good job, Bob. That was a great list.
Really good job, Bob.
I can't wait for next week Christmas list on Christmas Friday, as we're calling it around here.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what he comes up with.
So, do you think you can... Let's place bets on this, because we place bets on everything else. Can you... Because Abby, I think, is coming in next week. Didn't she say that tonight when we saw her? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you're going to arm wrestle Abby.
Oh, arm wrestle.
Right-handed arm wrestle here, and you're going to take her.
Yeah, I think so.
You think so?
I think so.
You saw her last night.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she can really smack a fruitcake on her thigh. So, you're the winner. Matt, who's going to win that? Or Sean, who's going to win that arm wrestle?
Oh, gosh. I might have to go out with Matt on this one.
I think they are both right-handed, so it's no ambiguity there. Carrington, who's going to win? Don't do the woman thing. Who do you really think is going to win?
I don't know. I have.
Yes, you do.
No.
Tell the truth.
Abby looks kind of strong. Matt's a little scrawnier.
She's kind of what?
Lord! What?
She just called you scrawny.
I mean, she wouldn't be wrong. Look at me.
Look at his arms.
It's not like
Your arms are like the same size.
Yeah, I'm not. It's not like I'm, you know, stocky. I'm not thick.
Like, I think Abby would beat me.
So did you say an Abby's thick?
No, she has regular arms.
I didn't say that. Don't put that on me. I did not say that. No. You said that. I didn't say that.
I said that Matt was scrawny.
And Abby was thick.
I said that she's got, like, some muscles. Like, I saw her arms.
She does not have any muscles.
A little bit.
Listen, and that's not a rude thing to say, but I know the girl. That's just her body type.
I don't know. I'm just curious to see who wins.
Do you have any muscles, scrawny?
No.
Okay, then what?
No, I don't.
You say that, but we really don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I beat you guys in a fruitcake toss last night.
No, we could arm wrestle Carrington now too.
Yeah, I bet he could take you.
Get the whole gang in on it. Have an arm wrestling tournament.
Yeah, I think you would lose.
The WGA's top annual arm wrestling.
You're not gonna do it for womankind after you did that for the thing last night with the
Yeah, I already won my thing for womankind, so I've done what I needed to do for women.
Kind of illegally.
Well, I did it for women, so.
All right. Well, we're gonna see what happens. Listen, I did not say she was thick. I want that put on the... Because I know this will come back at me. I know I'll be accused of calling her thick. And I did not call her thick. Let's put that on the right. You called her thick.
I did not call her thick.
Yes, you did. You said Matt was scrawny, and she was thick.
No.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, look who's sweating now, Scott.
I just know anything that's ever said around here, for some reason, I get to blame for.
Yeah, that's how it works.
That's not how it should work.
You're the moderator.
I am the moderator, but I'm not taking the blame for that one. All right. Well, you know, Matt and I talked about this the other day. Neutral friends. There's a new study out, and I believe this was actually done on TikTok, where they're apparently doing studies now. Go figure. Is that apparently people dislike friends who do not support them, just don't give any opinion at all, as much as they dislike the people who give a negative opinion. They don't like friends who are neutral. Matt, what do you think? You think that's true?
I mean, I guess it depends on the circumstance, but I mean, I think that I usually try to take a neutral stance if I don't have a say-so in the argument.
So you're saying your friends don't like you?
I mean, I think if they didn't like me, I wouldn't talk to them.
No, but I'm just saying they might not like you, so the study says. We don't like neutral friends. We want our friends to agree with us. We dislike them as much as the friend who we're having the disagreement with.
I wouldn't say that. I think that if you're gonna dislike somebody for not choosing side, you should at least dislike them less than the person that you actually have a disagreement with.
What do you think, Sean?
I mean, I think your friends should stick with you. So I think your friends should go on your side.
So you would dislike a neutral friend?
I would.
Who said, I'm staying out of it.
Sean, but what if you were wrong? I understand that nobody thinks they're wrong, but what if you were wrong? Well, how about this? What if one of your friends was wrong, and then so you would back them up just because they're your friend, even though they're wrong in the situation?
Yeah.
That's an awful idea.
But you would say that's a... good friend.
Good friend, yeah.
Okay.
Loyal friends.
What do you think?
So, in this situation, when you say neutral, you mean, like, they're giving no opinion.
Yeah, they're saying, I'm staying out of it. I'm not going anywhere with this.
Yeah, I kind of agree that I would probably dislike them as much as...
That's what they say.
Yeah, as the person they're disagreeing with. Because I think that there's a way you can... You don't have to agree with them. You could play devil's advocate where you're like, no, I see what you're saying, but you can also say, I see what the other person's saying. And I think I try to do that in most situations, especially if I believe that there are two sides. And I'm like, oh, well, like, I could see the misunderstanding of it all. But yeah, if they're just going to say no opinion at all, that's... get out. I don't need a friend that's not going to give any opinion. Like, that's boring.
Usually, you would like a negative opinion?
Yeah, I mean, if they're like, I think that you're wrong, like, at least you're giving an opinion. Yeah.
I don't think you would like a negative opinion. I think you think in your brain right now that you would like a negative opinion, but if you came in and you were unhappy about something and the person said, get over it, come on. That's not anything to be negative. I don't think you would like that.
Is negative, though, just saying, like, get over it? Or they're saying that they disagree with what?
You shouldn't be angry about that. You're being silly. Stop it.
No, I don't think that that's bad. I mean, if I was truly angry about it, then, like, maybe I would be more passionate and care more.
Well, that's,
like,
that's what we're saying here. You're angry, and then you come in, and the friend says, no, stop it. That's silly. Don't be angry about that.
I mean, maybe they're just trying to, like, cheer me up, like, you know, don't let this get your mood down.
Well, you can say that, but they just disagree with you, I think.
Not necessarily. I think that's different. Saying, like, no, come on, get over it, and saying, no, I think that you're wrong.
Okay, well, let's say they say that. You're wrong. Stop it.
I would want them to explain themselves.
What do you think, Matt? You're in the minority here. I mean, apparently, this side wants opinion.
I mean, I think that... I just feel like most... Not most... All situations are two-sided. I assume there's a right and wrong side, but I don't know enough about either side to make an outstanding choice for either side. So if somebody asks me about my opinion on a topic I don't really know about, and then only one, like, especially if only one person fills me in on their side, I mean, if only one person fills me in on their side, then I feel like I'm going to be obligated to be on the side of the one person who shared their side because the other person didn't get a chance to tell me their side of the story.
Yeah, but, like, who cares? If this is your friend and they're coming to you and telling you, like, this is what happened.
What if your friends wronged somebody, and then your friend said that they were the ones who was wrong? You're going to start trashing on the person they wronged, even though they in reality, didn't get wronged at all?
They decided
to bully somebody.
No, I mean, I would probably, like, if my friend presented it in a way that they seem like they're in the right, I might sit there and support my friend and they're wrong, like,
can
whatever.
Can you name one person who would present something in a way in which they were wrong?
I mean, why would they? They probably just wouldn't talk about it. Like, if I do something that I'm ashamed of, I probably just wouldn't bring it up at all. Like, why would they share it if they thought that they were in the wrong? Like, nobody ever thinks they're wrong. Like, Hitler thought he was right probably, too. You know, like, everyone thinks they're right in what they're doing. Nobody's like, I'm a bad guy. So they're going to present it how they viewed it. And as their friend, I'm just going to sit there and listen to what they have to say. I can never know the truth. It's not like I'm going to get online and attack this other person. I probably don't know the other person or don't really care about the other person. So I'm just going to sit there and support my friend and be like, oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. I see why you're upset. Maybe the other person thought this or that. And they're like, no, they didn't. Okay, fine. You're right. They're wrong. And, like, move on. Just support your friend.
I think that if my friends are not correct in their arguments, I'm not going to support my friends.
Okay.
I don't want to support somebody who's wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you just can't know the truth. There's always your friend's side, the other person's side, and the truth.
If I don't know the truth, I don't pick a side.
Okay.
If I didn't witness it, I don't have an opinion on it.
Oh, that happened last night. During the fruitcake toss, I didn't witness something, so I don't want to have an opinion on it.
That's respectable.
And you were made out to be the bad guy for that.
Well, no, I just think I didn't witness. I can't make an opinion, but honestly...
She admitted to it.
She did admit to it, but I didn't see it. It's like, you know, if you use a spitball. You can say you used a spitball, but I, you know, if I didn't see it, I can't call it. I can only call balls and strikes. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, that was my friend. I think they know me well enough to know that... I'm going to have opinion on what it is, and that's, I'm not downing you, I'm not downing nobody, but that's just me. Peer pressure doesn't, you know, if you're sitting around snorting cocaine and you feel like you're going to get me to do it by, you know, saying all this stuff, nah. But I don't want to do it. Peer pressure ain't going to change my mind. I'm going to do what I want to do.
Peer pressure is a bad thing. That's true. Hey,
uh-huh.
Peer pressure is a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, I, you know, I don't, you know, a, a succumb to any peer pressure, you know. You don't. Whatever you want to do is fine, but I'll do what I want to do.
And I think that's what a lot of people feel.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel bad about. If you're a friend of mine, you know that's, you know, that I'm not necessarily going to take up for you just because you're a friend.
So you don't think you should take up for the friend just because they're a friend?
Oh, no.
Okay. No. Well, that's, okay, so it's 2-2 then, is what we got here.
Yeah, they can't handle your opinion, and that's fine.
Well, I understand that. Hey, thanks.
Yep.
Now, see, here's my opinion on this. The problem is that I would not stay neutral, but I also know who can take it and who can't take it.
I guess I should have clarified, by the way. And in terms of neutral friend, are we talking about if like my friend had an argument with somebody else, or just like?
Well, yeah, I think so. I think that's the whole idea.
I mean, that's fine.
I could see you if your best friend.
I don't.
You wouldn't stick up for your best friend,
even if you know they're wrong.
I don't take sides in arguments. It's not my argument to be arguing for.
Well, see, people don't like that apparently.
But you that. I mean, best friend. That's why you have best friends. I mean, you go on your best friend regardless if they're down or up or, you know.
There's something called a party law. So if you're with one of your best friends and your best friend, you know, like killed somebody and you had nothing to do with it, but you didn't tell anybody because he's your best friend and you wouldn't turn on your best friend, you all go down for murder because that's the party law.
What kind of parties are you going to?
No. It's just called a party law.
A party law?
Like basically, if you
like an accessory.
Yeah, you were basically an accessory to murder because you didn't say anything and you knew what happened. But your best friend did it, so why would you tell on your best friend?
I don't think that's an argument, is it?
I think it's an argument.
No, I think it's a crime. I think that's a murder. That's where we part ways.
Yeah, I don't know.
Once you murder somebody.
Yeah, I don't think.
Murder is going farther than what I'd opinion stands for.
When you take somebody's pulse, I've got to stop being friends with you at that point. I think you're going to be going away for a while. It's going to be hard to exchange Christmas cards every year.
Yeah.
You're probably going to be in a maximum security prison.
Probably.
Yeah, that was a bit further than I
All I'm
thought.
Saying is you got to know who can take it and who can't. You know, I'll give somebody an honest opinion if I think they can take it. If I think it's going to hurt them, I probably won't. I'm not going to lie to them and say things that aren't true, but I'm not going to be as descriptive.
I think if somebody asks for your opinion and you give them an honest opinion and then they get upset about it, they shouldn't have asked for your opinion. If you didn't want the truth, you shouldn't have asked.
That's fine, but it's my choice to give them that full opinion.
I guess.
That's all I'm saying. But you know what? You can turn on people quick, though. Like, I will not turn on somebody. You really have to do something major that I don't like. But, I mean, just because we're friends doesn't mean we're going to be friends forever. Because if you do something that I find to be inappropriate or make a decision that I find to be inappropriate, I mean, I'm not going to... I don't think you have to notify your friends that... sorry, we're not friends anymore. Because that's rude. I think when you say that. But I think you can say, you know what? Just enough.
Ghost them.
Yeah. I'm all for that. I've done that several times to people. Matter of fact, I think that's the whole thing. Matter of fact, we were talking about this on the show earlier today. Do you delete pictures of people who you may have been in a relationship with or had some kind of close relationship with when that ends? And I didn't know you were supposed to do that. I don't have the time and energy to do it, so I'm not going to do it. But it has been done, and so what?
I think it's a waste of time to go back through the history of the post you've made and delete the pictures that people you don't like are in, because I think at the end of the day, if you guys were ever in a picture together on the internet, odds are you liked each other enough to enjoy each other's company. And so just because you don't enjoy each other's company anymore, obviously in that photo you did, because otherwise the photo wouldn't be up there.
Just because I'm not hanging around with somebody anymore does not mean that I can't think back to a good time. And a lot of times I'll see a picture with somebody, I'll say, oh, that was a good time. You know, I had a good time. They're a miserable person now, but they were a good time then.
I think I'm with you guys. I don't go through and delete the pictures. It's too much work, I feel like. Like, why do I want to go through and select every single one? And, like, then you're probably going to be like, oh, look at this, look at that. Like, no, I'll just leave it there and just not look at it unless I need to look at the picture.
And people do change, you know. Things mm-hmm. change. I mean, you put some time on something like 5 or 10 years, and you look back at it, and you'll mostly be happy about it for the most part. So that was a good time. I did like that person. That was a good... good learning experience.
So do you think it's easy, like whenever you think back about past memories, do you think it's easier to have a positive perception of these past events, even if they were negative, like in the future, just because you're like less emotionally attached to the event?
I think as time goes on, you become less emotionally attached to everything.
Right, but like, do you think then it's easier to have a positive opinion toward it?
Oh, sure.
So you think that's a universal thing? Like, I think some people are like negative toward things and like they almost grow more negative about them over time.
No, I think that's bitterness. I think that's a bitter character trait. I think you better work on that if that's if you're doing that, because you can't get what's the reason of care that you're carrying around a problem.
Yeah.
If you're getting more bitter as time goes on, the more you get away from something, the less bitter you should be about it.
I know. I'm just thinking, I have this friend who will recount this one night in the past, and she's always like, oh, that was like the worst night of my life. And I'm like, was it though? Like, every single time you tell this story, it's like, it's not terrible. Like, why are you still like, oh, that was the worst night ever, like, about this event, you know?
Well, I think, see, for me, all bad things are just fodder for life. I think you're going to have good, you're going to have bad, so it just becomes part of your life.
Yeah.
You know, as time goes on, it all just blends.
Yeah, yeah. And it's easy to look back and be happy about the previous memories, I think.
Well, I have never deleted any picture that I can ever remember of anybody for any specific reason, and I wouldn't do that. Now, somebody said earlier that maybe a new person is telling somebody to delete those pictures. Now, I think that's horrible. That's controlling, if that's happening.
I agree. That's odd. Why are you looking through their past photos?
And why do you care?
Yeah.
I mean, what? I mean, I really think that shows a character flaw. If you're letting somebody tell you what to do, or you're deleting it because you think it's going to tick them off, why would that tick somebody off? Did they believe you had no life before them?
I don't know. Some people are weird about social media, and it's like,
I don't care, because you know what? People misinterpret things all the time, and I've just learned, listen, people are going to misinterpret it. Let them think what they want to think. I know what the truth is. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Let the chips fall where they may.
That's all you can do.
But I do believe you can write people off. I don't believe this idea where you got to stick beside somebody their whole life. And I do believe people often, and I feel bad for them, but I don't think they realize that they are ticking you off. Because I'm not an emotional person. So you might be doing something that is making me, you know, disenchanted with you, and you'll never know that that's happening, but it's just eroding away, and then it's gone. And then one day we just don't talk anymore.
Goodbye.
I think that's fair. I think if a friend constantly came to me with these dramatic issues where she's like, oh, me and this person got in a fight, me and that person got in a fight, I probably would at that point be like, okay, maybe we need to self-reflect and realize that if you're getting in a fight with everybody, you could be the issue. So, I mean, if one time they come to you, then like I'm like, oh, yeah, like maybe something crazy happened with the other person. But like if it was a reoccurring issue, I agree. I would also probably put some distance between myself and
them. Well, but I also think you can grow closer to people in weird ways that maybe you think heretofore would not have happened, because of you find similarities with people that maybe you think would never have been there. That's interesting, too. I mean, I've been close friends with people who I never thought I would be close friends with, because I just, when I first met them, I thought, well, that's, you know, that's not going to be anything. But then, oh, I really do like that person, and they're fun to be around. And you don't know till you're around them. So that grows over time.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that, too. So it goes both ways. Here's something. I had not heard of this, but there's a new thing this holiday season from Molly Kessler. I don't know who that is, but she's an author, I think. Molly Kessler is doing something called Jingled. Do you know what getting jingled is?
No.
We still have time to... Oh, well, I've got it all here. You can do this holiday season. You find a person. Now, not a gift. We're not talking about a gift. But what you do is you get, like, garland, and you get ornaments, and you get, cheap stuff you would go to the Dollar Tree and get Christmas stuff, and you put it all over their workstation when they're not there. And when they come back, it's all over their... And it's for them, but it's all over them. That's called being jingled. And then you have to jingle them back or jingle somebody else.
Yeah, they do some stuff like this in my parents' schools, I think.
I would not partake in this. Matter of fact, I would just throw the stuff in the garbage and move on.
What? Because Scrooge?
I wouldn't even know what that was. You've given me a garland?
Oh, it's decoration. Hang it up.
I'd probably be confused, come in and be like, who made such a mess on my desk, and then throw everything away so I can get to work?
Matter of fact, there was a thing... See, this is the kind of... Have you been to the stores and seen some kind of the nasty Christmas decorations that are out there now? I'll tell you, people turn Christmas into a...
trash.
Oh, my God. I saw a thing in a normal department store the other day, it's for a woman, and it was ho, ho, ho. That's the shirt.
Okay.
That's horrible.
That it says ho, ho, ho.
Yeah.
It's just like a Santa
thing. No, they're not talking about Santa.
It was supposed to be like a raunchy thing?
I don't know that that's raunchy, but it was just off color. It's offbeat.
Oh, okay. I mean, so I've seen some where I feel like it's not intended to be weird.
And there are Christmas ornaments I've seen that are very... I don't even know where you'd hang these things.
Like what?
I'm not getting into that.
What?
They're perverse.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I mean, is Christmas really the time to be being perverse?
I think they're probably just targeting to that perverse audience because they still exist in the holiday season.
I don't... Well, that's fine. I mean, if your friends have that type of humor and you have that type of humor with them, go ahead.
Humor.
I know what you're going to say. Yeah, go
humor.
Ahead. Humor. Humor. Humor.
Humor.
Humor.
You're going to say H's right by the time
humor.
We're done here.
I got an H for you later on. I'm going to say to you. But think about that. In any event, yeah, it's raunchy. But if you know your friends like the raunchy stuff, I guess get them a raunchy thing. Whatever.
Whatever, yeah. I mean, that's what I said.
But I don't care to see it when I'm at the store. Although, you know what, a good raunchy thing here and there, that's fine, I guess.
It's probably after the Santa baby.
It could be. I mean, I don't think you should overreact for a raunchy thing. I mean, it's just what it is, but it is a little strange that it's going on at the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Well, you know what? Prince William sent out a holiday card, and apparently people don't like it because they're not all dressed up. They're not dressed in formal clothes. See, the Queen's dead, and the whole thing's went to...
Who's Prince William? Is that the new,
That was perfect. The H?
Yeah.
What's the new king's name?
Charles.
So...
See, the Queen would have never allowed this Christmas card to go out in, like, a button-up shirt and jeans. No.
So what's his son? So Prince...
William.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's dressing just like a commoner. A mere commoner.
What a disgrace.
Well, disgrace.
I'm glad it's about time they're opening
it's the royal family.
I mean,
push your butt up.
Who cares about that? They need to change the dress code. I mean, I think it's too...
It's the royal family. They got a bazillion dollars. They live in a palace. They wear crowns. For God's sake, put on a pair of khakis for your Christmas card.
Okay, I kind of agree on this one. I typically don't agree with Scott.
Oh, it's a Christmas miracle.
It's a Christmas miracle. I mean, yeah, like, what else do they have going on? Like, just dress up for the picture.
I don't know.
It's just a Christmas card.
But I think it's too many years. I'm sure the kid grew up, you know, because his mom's dead. And he grew up wearing all these khakis all his life. Now he wants to change it up a little bit.
He's the future king of England.
Yeah, I think that if you...
What's he going to wear, a crown and jeans?
To me, if I was in the royal family, I'll be wearing this.
That's why you're not in the royal family. You would be in a different place. No, dress up. You're the royal family. You don't send out Christmas cards looking like hobos. Come on.
I don't know. I don't
this is what we were talking about. You got to know to dress like the room. Don't come in dressed like the state.
To me, I don't care what's wrong with jeans.
Wear jeans if you want, but don't... You know, you can even take jeans, by the way, and dress them up. You know, wear jeans and then put a sports coat over top of it. Put a t-shirt on. You can dress that up. But don't come in looking like you just fell off the hayloft on the way to the hootenanny.
I think it's more so like when you're part of a family that's that well-known and that...
The royal family!
That prominent in an area.
Do you know how many people get this Christmas card every year?
You kind of need to...
dress to impress.
Yeah, you kind of have to dress to you know, show.
Well, I know when I was being asked to join...
Times are changing now, though.
Yeah, but I know when I was being asked to join the royal family, I said, listen, if I shall join this, I will wear formal clothes to all the events. I haven't signed a paperwork to that effect, as a matter of fact. But, you know.
Journalistic integrity.
Exactly.
Queen Elizabeth
called me up many years. This is a little known story that happened at Christmas time. I'll give it to you here. Because it's a good Christmas story to live and die by. A few years ago, Queen Elizabeth, did you ever see her Christmas announcement she gave every year?
No.
She'd stand in front of a big old Christmas tree in a beautiful dress and a nice little handbag that she always had. She had dog biscuits in there, by the way, for her dogs. That's what was in her handbag. And the woman never smiled. And the queen was giving her announcement one year, and the sound went out. The audio went out on her sound because it was live every year. And I said, oh, my God, I'm sitting at home. And I said, oh, my God, the queen's – because I would set my clock by this thing. And the sound went out. And me being a broadcasting person, I said, oh, that's terrible. They don't realize their sound is going out. So I called information, and wouldn't you know it, Buckingham Palace is in the information, 411. And that's what we used to do. So I got on the horn, the buzzer, and I called up Buckingham Palace, and I said, listen, your audio is not working, fool. I'm in the state where WEWS is, W-E-W-S, first television station in the state of Ohio, 16th in the country. You need to fix that sound. The queen, I can't hear the queen. Well, ipso facto, couple days later, I get a call. The phone rings. Ring, 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 ring. It's the queen. Wouldn't you know it? The queen found out that I had saved her Christmas Eve announcement. She said, Scott, I know you're an American. I know that you live in Ohio. I know you're not part of the royal bloodline. I know you've never had any inbred going on like we do. But I would like you to join the royal family as my grandson. And I said, well, the queen, that's wonderful. I said, I call her Your Majesty. You know, I immediately fell in line. I said, Your Majesty, I'd be glad to do that. And she said, okay, I'm going to send the paperwork over FedEx. And FedEx, a couple days later, the paperwork arrives for me to join the royal family, and I fill it out. It's very much like paperwork at the BMV, and I filled it out, and I sent it back over, and the queen said, okay, come over to Buckingham Palace, and COVID hit, and I couldn't go over, so it kind of blew the whole thing, but I agreed to several things. So that's a Christmas story for you.
Nice. So that's why you always dress up. That's why you've got the scarf on when
we're
sitting
here. What is it with you and
here?
My scarves? It's scarves.
It is 80 degrees in this room.
You're sweating like a pig. You've got a glandular disorder. You would never make the royal family. Let me tell you, if the queen was still alive and you were sweating like that over there.
No, I would wear a dress that didn't have sleeves.
Did you say she was sweating like a pig?
Jeez. There's another term I can't. Go ahead.
That's fine. I just think that
you have a glandular disorder. I'm not making fun of you.
No.
I believe you need to see a doctor. I think they can put Botox in your armpits and stop that.
It is 80 degrees in this room.
They
and
can
I
do
have
that,
a
you know.
Sweatshirt
that.
On.
They can put. They can shoot Botox in your armpits now, so you don't sweat.
What?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
That's a whole thing.
I'm gonna look this up. I'm actually interested.
Yeah, because you know.
Yeah. No,
so
I should
look
into that.
So I think I should have joined the royal family. It was kind of a bummer, and the queen's dead now, so it's kind of over for me. But what are you gonna do?
Yeah. I mean, now they're like, oh, we didn't even know. We don't have record of the queen doing.
Do you have any forks in the road like that in your life?
Oh, mine's gone too.
In what? Like
forks in the road?
Where it's like,
where you could have joined the royal. I understand there's nothing like mine, but where you could have joined the royal family, but you didn't.
I mean, whenever I worked at Disney, I went to Florida. That was kind of like, I was like, oh, I can either not go to Florida and live there, or I can, and then I did.
You know, there are decisions in life that are make or break. Remember that. Mine was with the queen. I could be right now.
Yeah,
sitting
and working
over
at Disney World's kind of like that.
Like being in the royal family?
Yeah, yeah.
Putting on, like, the goofy head is like being in the royal family.
You have to dress up every day in a certain attire, and there's a lot of rules.
You have to wear a tire?
Yes, you're in a costume.
A tire?
Yeah, you're in a costume when you're there. You're on stage.
A tire?
A tire.
Okay. What are you, a fork in the road in your life, Sean?
Always.
Should I eat that Big Mac or not, right?
Yeah,
every
exactly.
day. All right, Matt, a fork in your life?
And I don't know. That's not one I think about often. You kind of just let the forks go. There's no point to dwell on forks.
All that makes me think of is formal parties. Listen, when you go to a formal party, if you're not seated with the person you came with, that's fine. I don't know why people get all upset about that.
I don't see how this connects.
He was talking about forks. You use forks at a formal party.
Yeah, I mean, most parties have.
Have you ever been to a formal party? I'm getting worried now. Like, if you went to a thing, you might be able to put a dress on, but are you going to know what to do?
I,
you know how to use a salad fork?
Yeah. Yeah, just like a regular one.
Soup spoon?
Yes.
Napkin?
Yeah, on your lap.
Okay.
I'm on it. I got it.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
Here's the point. So we've reached that point in the program. What have you learned tonight as we're a week away from the big Christmas show? We got the big Adam, gosh. Why do I call you Adam? Go ahead.
You know, I don't know how I feel about that.
You don't know how you feel about what?
You call it
the Christmas party?
No. Calling me being.
That's just one of those Freudian slips.
So Tuesday morning, we will have Scott Schroetzer on for the last time as mayor or
live in the studio.
Live in the studio. And then we will also that night have
why live in the studio. We don't really know, but we're happy that he's coming in. I'll be glad to sit with him face to face after 16 years. We're gonna wrap it up.
I mean, that's got to be it. It's just it's been 16 years. You got to make the last.
We have a relationship at this
yeah.
point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that night, there will be the Christmas party.
Christmas party, yep.
7 to 9.
7 to 9,
seven
big time.
Nine.
Jack Kellogg's coming, whole big event. All right, so now that being said, what have you learned tonight? And big show next Friday night here, big gift exchange, homemade items.
I learned that I still got to make my items. Well, I didn't learn that, but, you know, I just thought about it again.
Try that again.
All right.
What did you learn?
I'll give it another try.
Take another pass at that.
Man, I don't know.
You want me to come back to you in a second?
Yeah, you can do that.
Sean?
I learned that you was going to join the royal family.
Well,
I had no clue.
I've kept that story under wraps for years.
Yeah.
I didn't want the public to get it.
Yeah,
but
I had
it's the holidays. I figure why not tell
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
All right, Matt, you come with anything yet?
I learned similarly with Sean, except I learned you single-handedly saved the Queen's broadcast that day.
You know, somebody had to do it. All right, what do you think, Carrington?
I learned that the fruitcake toss needs some more rules in place. We need better judges.
Are you still stewing over that thing?
I'm just saying that there is some controversy that I think could have been avoided had we had better precautions set in place, better rules, better, you know, just, I don't know. I'm just disappointed in that aspect of the night. But aside from that, it was great.
We've got 365. Okay. Are you excited for the next one?
Absolutely, yeah.
Are you on pins and needles, ready for the next fruitcake?
Yeah, I'm anticipating it.
It's become the Marian tradition.
Yeah, I mean, we had at least 50 people there.
Oh, at least.
At least. It was a big event.
Yeah, and people came just to watch. That's how you know you're doing an event.
Mm-hmm.
Is when people, and now we've got the whole Buckeyes. We've got the whole hot chocolate, which will have to be done every year.
A lot of moms. It's a mom event.
It is a mom event. Yes. Apparently
the
moms.
Bring your moms.
Well, some people brought them and some just showed up.
Well, that's it. Yeah, but moms were there regardless.
There were moms there. And, you know, I'll tell you what's weird before we run out. This is what, I'll give you something that I learned that last night at the fruitcake toss, is that girls look a lot like their mothers.
Is this about me?
No. It's not about you.
Okay.
No. I mean, if you want it to be, it could be. But I'm saying there was a girl there last night whose mom was there, and I'm telling you, they are like twins. It's weird.
I feel like, I mean, some kids are like that. I think some of the sons can look like the moms sometime, too.
Well, of course, they're your parents. You're going to favor them in some way. But I'm talking about this person looks like their mom. I mean, you wouldn't have to say it was your mom. I'd know it. If I saw this person in a grocery store, I'd know it was their mom.
Oh. It's always interesting to meet someone like that. And you're like, wow, you want to see you in 20 years?
Not even that long. Maybe a couple at this particular point. So that's what I learned. But it was very interesting. And I like meeting all the moms last night. Well, I've met all those moms last night. Yeah, I've met your mom many times, and I've met your mom once or twice, and I've met Abby's mom, and I was introduced to my mom for the first time last night, but that was very nice.
We met your mom.
Yeah.
Lovely lady. She talked about your wrestling infatuation as a child.
There was no infatuation. See, right there, that's misinformation.
That was not misinformation.
I did watch it.
She said that you would record it and dub over the announcers.
Yes, but that's not so much about wrestling. That's more about broadcasting.
Yeah, but wrestling specifically.
Well, yeah, but it was very geared toward kids in those days. I mean, this is a very young age. This is not like when I'm 16.
Yeah, that's fine. That was just your sport of choice.
Entertainment. It was, you know, you had the lunch boxes and the things back then. And, I mean, it's what we did, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, it's what you did. All the kids on the neighborhood used to have folders, and you'd get pencils to go back to school with all that stuff on it.
And you're like, it's Scott Spears here on a Getaway Friday night watching a lovely wrestling match go down. And you just dubbed right over those announcers.
That's exactly. Well, they weren't doing the job well enough.
Apparently not.
I had to step in. So it's been happening for a long, long time. All right, we're done on this Friday night. It's a getaway. It's getting that way. But, well, you know what? Next Friday is going to be a big week as we roll into the Christmas holiday. Interestingly enough, our last broadcast next Friday night before Christmas will be on the 22nd, so a few days before Christmas Eve. And apparently, when we come back in New Year's, everybody will be in their footy pajamas, and on Christmas Eve, we're all going to go watch the Christmas Story and eat leg lamp cookies. And, oh, Christmas Eve morning is going to be like something you've never seen before.
Oh, indeed.
There'll be pictures everywhere, all over the place. So for this week, hope you have a great weekend. Hope you make it a great one. Go to your holiday parties, have some cheese dip, have some tacos, and have a great time. Enjoy the holiday season and enjoy the people around you who mean something to you. Call somebody up on the phone who you care about and say, you know what? I haven't talked to you in years. I like you, but we're probably not going to talk again in the next year. I'll call you next Christmas.
Yeah, it's like birthdays.
It's like birthdays.
Call you on your birthday.
Exactly. Talk to you soon. All right. For Matt and Sean and Carrington, big week next week. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Thank you very much. That's right, this is Red Skelton, and I want to wish everyone listening, streaming live on the internet at www.